Blog Talk Radio.
If he wants his town, come see me.
Travis Hobson, and that was the Magnificent Seven, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell. That was pretty much all of it. Bullets, guys screaming, the occasional horse. Yeah, that was pretty much it. Thank you very much. Just kidding. on this show, we'll be talking about Magnificent Seven, obviously, starring Denzel Washington. Reunion with Antoine Fuqua and co-star Ethan Hawke, and also Chris Pratt. Is in the cast. A pretty good cast for this one all around. Peter Sarsgaard's in it as well. Great cast in D'Onofrio. So we're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes with my buddy Chris Bumbray from JoeBlow.com, who is also here to talk about everything that he saw at the Toronto International Film Festival, just as he promised a couple weeks ago. So, hey, he's a man of his word. And we actually don't have a ton of time with him. So we're not going to wait too long here. And also, this is probably going to be an abbreviated show because, one, I'm tired as hell, and two, I'm hopping on a bus to New York to spend the weekend shortly. So it's going to be a short one. But hopefully, it's made up for the fact that I gave you guys that interview with Lupita Nyong'o just yesterday. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, just go to the site. You can either go to punchdrunkcritics.com or here on Blog Talk Radio and check out the interview with Lupita Nyong'o, where she talks about Queen of Katwe. So without further ado, let's bring my buddy Chris Bumbray of JoeBlow.com. What up, homie?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm going all right, man. I'm good. I'm eating my way through this, man. I am dead on my feet, or dead in my office chair.
Right. Yeah, me too. Right. Kind of recovering, doing the post film festival sleepwalking the last couple of weeks.
Oh my god, I'm thinking about the 2 week flu I had like after Sundance every year.
Oh boy,
I'm like I'm waiting for it.
I remember.
Oh yeah, that's coming up too. Pretty soon, you and I are going to need to start talking about what's going to be there.
Yes, sir.
It's not that much longer until the announcements start coming. So
pretty soon, yeah, it's about a week and a half or so.
Yeah, very really soon. I know because we got the local festivals around here are coming up. Middleburg is around the corner, and the which generally have some of the same movies that are at Toronto and some other places. I know we're going to have La La Land at Middleburg. Yeah, that's the centerpiece from Middleburg.
You got to go see that one.
I've already put my name in. I'm already there for that. But yeah, the festival season is in full swing. But let's talk about this. Magnificent Seven played at Toronto, didn't it? Or where did it play at?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it was the opening night movie. I actually did the junket for it, so I interviewed that whole gang.
You interviewed, who did you interview for it?
Oh, Denzel, I did. I know. Everybody. Denzel,
Denzel.
And my friend. Yeah, I did him and Antoine Fuqua paired. That's the second time I've done them like that.
Nice.
I did Ethan Hawke and Byung-Hun Lee together. I did Vincent
nice.
D'Onofrio. I did the whole cast. Peter Sarsgaard, he gave
wow.
me a great interview. Haley Bennett, she was great.
Did
Pratt.
You get Haley Bennett?
I did. She was great. She was really good.
Oh, she's gorgeous.
Easy on the eyes as well. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought she was really good in the movie as well. But no, I did the whole cast. I did the whole all seven of them. So it was pretty cool, man. It was fun.
Well, since you had a chance to talk to all of them, what did you actually think of the movie? Which is obviously
you know, it's funny.
Original.
I hate
mm-hmm.
to say this because it's going to sound a little much, but I liked the movie more before I did the junket. not in a bad way. Like, the thing is, when I saw it, I thought it was a really fun Western, and I thought that they did a good job kind of evoking the original. But then when I was speaking to the cast, it seems like that's not at all what they were going for. I mean, they were telling me, we're more like Seven Samurai, more like Kurosawa, or more like, you know, the Wild Bunch. Sam Peckinpah's the Wild Bunch, and I'm just like, oh, man, not really. I mean, this is like PG-13. But that was the cast, though. But then not all of them, though. Not all of them were like that. I mean, Hawk seemed to know exactly what kind of movie he was in. And Fuqua and Denzel were totally cool about it. Like, Fuqua was talking about the original, how much he liked it, and, you know, whatever. And he was saying he was just always kind of wanted to make a Western, but that it wasn't really his genre. And you know, and fair enough. You know, that's fine. He made a modern movie, and I thought he did a pretty good job doing a Western, you know, not putting too much CGI in. I mean, if you look at some of the other Westerns that have come out in the last couple of years, they're pretty terrible. At least he's a guy who had, like, control of the vocabulary of a Western. And, you know, and you
right.
can tell he likes Kurosawa as well, but he's not trying to make a Kurosawa movie. And then Denzel Washington straight up said that he'd never seen the original, didn't care about it. Was not a Western guy, just hadn't watched them growing up. And whatever, I mean, he was doing his own thing, that's fine. And he thought it'd be fun to do a Western because, you know, he told me, he says he only gets, it's not like he has like 15 Western scripts, you know, to choose from. He said that it was like the first one that kind of came across and he was like, oh, a Western. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Why not?
And I feel like,
you know?
I feel like Denzel's like that for a lot of the sort of genre stuff that he does. He's like, yeah, I don't care what came before. Let me just do my thing. Which is
nothing
wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, but
fair
enough,
that.
Though.
Yeah,
well,
there's,
I mean,
there's nothing
people like
that.
It. People like it.
Exactly.
People go see him, you know, and I mean, you know, he knows better than anybody what his strengths and his weaknesses are, and I think that, you know, Fuqua and him have kind of a symbiotic relationship, right? I mean, I think that that's the reason they work. So I think Denzel's like that with a lot of directors. I think if he finds a guy that he likes, or director that he likes, he'll stick with them, right? And it was like that for Tony Scott, and it's kind of like that now with Antoine Fuqua. I mean, I was just reading on Joe Blow that Fuqua has already signed up to do Equalizer 2. So,
yep.
You know, so it's mm-hmm. they're clearly they've got something good going, and it's fair enough because movies keep making money and they do well and they're good films. You know, Fuqua, I think,
the
is
movies,
a legitimate action director. Yeah. I think he's one of the better action directors.
The best movies Fuqua makes are the ones he does with Denzel. They're also the most successful movies. I mean, he does plenty of other movies. He makes guy movies, really muscular sorts of movies. And when you meet him, you see why. He's this total alpha male. I mean, he just completely is. And
I find him really nice, though. You know, I've had people say that to me before.
That's not saying he's not nice. He's absolutely nice. He absolutely is. I mean, I've interviewed him a couple of times, too. He's a nice guy. But he's a total... sort of guy.
He's not your
movies.
Typical director. He's a tough guy. Like he's burly and stuff like that. But you know, he's macho. I honestly really like him. You know, I've interviewed him twice. I find him kind of cool and kind of fun. You know, he seems to know. I think he likes our site though. I think because I tend to give him very good reviews because I do like his movies, right? And I think he's very aware of the site, so he's kind of cool with us. And you know, and Denzel I really like as well. I mean, he's always kind of, you know, he's one of those guys, you know, he likes to take the piss of it. You got to kind of go along with that. And if you do, you know, you could tell. Yeah, that's his. I like guys like that, though. I mean, my father's like that. I'm kind of like that, you know. So it's kind of, you know, and I mean, I treat him with respect, too, Denzel Washington. I mean, you know, he's like the icon of icons. There was this really funny thing that happened, though, when I was doing the interview. Just before I went in, there was this dude who came in. I'm pretty sure it was like one of Denzel's assistants or whatever. Might have even been one of his sons. He's a good-looking black guy. You know, he was really cool. He was kind of schmoozing with the ladies and stuff like that. And he looked great and whatever, but he was loud. He was really loud. And then I just hear from the interview room somebody go, "What the fuck?" And the door comes flying open. And it's Denzel Washington. He's like, "Yo, shut the fuck up out here. We're trying to do an interview." And then he sees who it is. And he's like, "Oh," he goes, "Boy, go get me a sandwich." I'm sitting, I'm laughing my ass off. I thought it was so cool. I thought it was so funny. And the guy, whatever, he was clearly joking around. Like, he had a big smile on his face when he was doing it. He was clearly joking, but it was pretty funny.
This is why Denzel and Antoine Fuqua make good movies together, because Denzel is always, like, the coolest guy. And in every movie, no matter who he's with, he's the coolest guy. And that's the kind of the way it is in The Magnificent Seven, too. But it's interesting that you said some of the cast, you know, your ideas of what the movie was going to be. As soon as Antoine Fuqua signed on to direct it, I knew this wasn't going to be like some kind of neo-Western like some of the other ones we've seen over the last few years.
But that's what I liked about it, though.
Everybody's trying to reinvent the genre that honestly doesn't really need to be reinvented. When Fuqua signed on, you're like, this is not going to be that. This is just going to be a straight-up Western or straight-up action movie.
Yeah, well, that's why I like it. He makes, you know, kind of straightforward movies, and I thought he did a good job. He didn't make it too much like The Equalizer in the Old West, like I thought it might be. You know, I mean, I thought his compositions were really good. His widescreen. I usually have a problem with the cinematography in his movies because I find he goes too dark. But I thought that in this one, he really didn't. I thought it looked great. I liked the fact that he used some of James Horner's themes. Didn't overdo it with the Magnificent Seven theme. You know, he was doing, you know, kind of a throwback Western.
He
was having fun doing it. He was having fun doing it, though, and he made some good action scenes. The problem I had with the movie, though, as opposed to the original, because I really like the Magnificent Seven, the original, and, of course, the Seven Samurai, but more of the Magnificent Seven is what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The reason I like the Magnificent Seven is, though, it's seven pretty interesting guys. And this one, I mean, you know, for as much as I liked it, it's Denzel's movie. Totally.
Yeah. Most of the guys are.
Anytime he's on screen.
Most of the characters are very one. I mean, not much to any of them, with the exception of.
No, they're there to service him. He's the boss. I mean, and I noticed something that Denzel, whenever he's on screen, he usually is alone or is with Haley Bennett. I find she's the only one who kind of had a really solid role in the movie. He's either alone or with Haley Bennett, and he doesn't interact with the other guys too much. And then they'll cut the scene.
With Chris Pratt.
Even Chris Pratt, you know, I found Chris Pratt. I like Chris Pratt, but I found Denzel blew him away. And, you know, and it's funny because I remember listening to an interview with Ethan Hawke on Marc Maron not long ago. And Maron talked about how when he did Training Day, he was nervous because he finds that Denzel is such a powerful actor that he tends to blow away all of his co-stars. And he said the few times that he's seen it not happen was with Gene Hackman. In Enemy in Crimson Tide, and he had another example too, and I think him in Training Day is like that, and I think so I felt like Hawk played pretty well off of him, but I mean the rest of them, I mean, I thought D'Onofrio went too far with his scenery chewing, and I think that's something that he does. You know, I think when he's not reined in too much,
he's not reined in at all in this movie. But
yeah,
again, Young he has lines that going to be comic relief, whatever.
Yeah, Byung-Hun Lee, you know, kind of does his thing. But, I mean, I didn't feel any of them were super prominent. And even Pratt, I mean, I think was pretty extraneous to the film. Like, it's really a supporting part. You know, Denzel is the star.
Very
and Denzel, so you're going to go, who's Denzel's the guy who makes it worth going to see. And, you know, he's the man. You know, I mean, he's kind of, and I love his outfit. He looks like Herb Jeffries. Have you heard this guy, Herb Jeffries?
No, I haven't.
Herb Jeffries was like the first black cowboy star in the 30s and 40s. He made all these movies, and he dressed Denzel did in the movie. And he had like a mustache and stuff, and he was kind of like this he's kind of an interesting figure. If you look him up, he only died a couple years ago, and he was like over 100. He had this thing. He was really young looking when he was in his 80s, and he always talked about how he did yoga and he meditated for like 3 hours a day, and when he was meditating, he didn't age. And it was kind of like maybe there was something to that because he aged really well. And but anyway, he was a cowboy star, like a singing cowboy star. But he was a black singing cowboy star. It was the first. And I found that Denzel looked a bit like him in the movie. I didn't bring that up in the interview. I kind of wish I did, but it didn't really occur to me until afterwards. So I was doing some research, but you know, I mean, anyway, Denzel, you know, kicks ass.
It's interesting that he would, if you say he looked like Herb Jeffries, because I heard that what they were going for was Cleavon Littleton.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I.
I'm very much kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I love Cleavon Little in that. I wish that there was somebody like the Waco kid in that movie, though. I think that's what you needed. Like somebody really like real comic relief.
I think that's probably what they wanted the Chris Pratt character to be. I mean, they gave him. Every time he had a role, a line, it was meant to be a funny line. You know, that one scene he shared with Haley Bennett, but. But otherwise, you know, that was very much a minor role, in a movie full of minors.
I like Pratt, and I think he's a really nice guy. When I interviewed him, I thought he was cool, but he's not to me like a real movie star yet. Like, I mean, he has to except for Guardians, you know, I don't really think he has that. He hasn't maybe gotten like his persona down yet. But the thing is, Denzel is a guy that's got his persona down cold.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I look
he's
at
got,
Denzel
he's got 20
in the same way.
Right,
yeah, but I mean, I think Denzel's on the same level. He's a guy like a Sean Connery or a Clint Eastwood, you know, or even a John Wayne, where it's like you don't necessarily go to see him playing a character. You go to see him because it's Denzel. You go to see Denzel, and you'll go see him in anything because he's always, you know, it's really like, you know. And he's kind of his own thing, like almost like something like Magnificent Seven with a huge cast is almost unnecessary because the people that are going to go see it are going to go see it because Denzel's in it. I mean, it's really that he'll every movie. I go see everything he's in. I think he's great.
I would go see.
Yeah,
I'll go see anything, even the movies.
I mean, I'm going to see Fences.
Well, Fences looks and sounds like it's amazing. Of course, based on the source material, it should be. It's a passion project in his career.
He actually does things that are
clearly phoned in, like Two Guns. You're like, yeah, I'm still gonna go see it. It's Denzel. So
he told me something funny though in the interview because I was talking to Fuqua about Kurosawa because he had a character named Red Harvest, which is a name of a short story by Dashiell Hammett that Yojimbo was based on. And then Washington was kind of looking at me, and he's like, "Yojimbo," and he goes, "Wow, you did your homework, didn't you?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I stole a shot from Yojimbo in Fences," and I'm like, "Really? Yeah." And he was talking about it, and he was like, and I'd never seen that movie until Fuqua showed it to us on the set, and I was like, "Oh wow, cool, man." I mean, you know, whatever. I like that.
How soon before he and Fuqua do a Yojimbo?
I could totally see it, and I think it would be good.
He would
be perfect for that role. I'm kind of shocked they haven't done it yet. I mean, I think that would have been better than Magnificent Seven, just, you know, because he's perfect. And, you know, it's a one-man thing.
I think Denzel would be perfect for a lot of Mifune roles, actually.
I think he'd be very good
for a lot of them.
But he's not an ensemble guy. That's the thing about Magnificent Seven. He's not. Totally not an ensemble guy. He's too big a star for it. So you go to see. For Denzel, and when Denzel's not on screen, you're waiting for him to come back. You're like, I wonder what Denzel's doing.
All right. All right. So we both pretty much agree on the Magnificent Seven. Let's take a quick break, and I'll be hearing about. Hear from you about the movies that you really loved at TIFF. So,
sure.
So we're gonna take a break for just 1 minute, and then we'll be right back.
Sure, man.
we're back. I got my man Chris Bumbury from JoeBull.com here. We just finished talking about the Magnificent Seven. And now, Chris, you just got back from the Toronto International Film Festival, and since I was not there, again, I want to hear from you about what the... first of all, how many reviews did you write right now?
I mean, it was my 8th year covering, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it was year 8. And I reviewed 31 movies. So it was quite a bit. And that's not even my biggest year. I mean, I had a year, I think, that I did closer to 40. But it was nuts. I mean, I was dying too by the end. I started blowing off movies towards the end. Because the thing about PIFF, how it's different than Sundance, is Sundance, they schedule Sundance because they know the weather's bad. So they're always afraid people aren't going to make it in the first couple days. So usually the first few days is, you know, not great. You know, they're kind of okay movies. And then it gets really crazy around like day 3, day 4. TIFF is the complete opposite because it's crazy the first weekend, the first 4 days, it's all the best movies. And then the Monday night, and then it's right away on the Tuesday, it starts to go downhill, like the type of stuff. It goes downhill. Totally. And then towards the end, I was seeing some crappier movies. So, I mean, but then again, like most of the stuff I saw was like Birth of the Dragon. That was pretty bad.
That's the Bruce Lee movie, right?
Yeah, that's the Bruce Lee movie where they decided for some reason to make it about some white dude instead of Bruce Lee. I don't really get it, man. It was kind of...
Yeah, I remember they put out a trailer for that like a couple days after it premiered, and I was like, it doesn't look very good. It looks like it's about this white guy, not Bruce Lee.
it's not good at all. It's actually really bad. But
What's better, that or Kickboxer Vengeance?
I'd say Kickboxer. I had more fun watching Kickboxer Vengeance. I wouldn't say it was better, because definitely Birth of the Dragon is better directed and stuff, but I had more fun watching Kickboxer Vengeance. I'll say that much.
Alright, well, give me just your top 5 movies that you loved.
My first was definitely La La Land, I think, and that's the one that hopefully you'll get to see soon. I mean, I predicted on TV right at the beginning of the festival that I thought that was going to win the People's Choice Award, and it did. And whenever a movie wins People's Choice Award, it usually ends up becoming like a major Oscar contender. I think Spotlight won last year, and you know, The King's Speech, stuff like that. So, you know, I think that's going to be like a big Oscar contender this year. Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone are both amazing in it. You know, their chemistry is so good now, having done 3 movies together. Damien Chazelle, I mean, he did an amazing job. He nailed it. It's not like any musical you've ever seen. I think they made a mistake, though, putting one of the songs out. I think they did today. I think it's much better to go see it and just let it like all wash over you, a first time thing, without knowing the songs beforehand. But it's a pretty amazing movie. There's that. I would say number 2, it was a surprise to me, actually. It was probably Deepwater Horizon, which I didn't think was going to be that good, but it turned out it was great. You know, that's
I saw that movie. Yeah, I saw it a couple weeks ago, and they showed it here earlier.
Yeah.
And I'm going too deep into it. I have to agree with you that I was surprised by how good it was, and how it wasn't just like an action movie version of the Deepwater.
No. The thing that's really good about it is that they you know, he really takes his time kind of laying it all down, right? Like getting into what exactly happened, why it happened, what they were doing on the ship, you know, and it was, I thought that was pretty smart. And it was a pretty sophisticated, exciting movie. I thought that Wahlberg was great. Kurt Russell was fantastic. I thought Dylan O'Brien was really good.
It made me not miss, what's his name? Who was going to direct it first?
Most Violent Year guy, J.C. Sandor. Yeah.
J.C. Chandler. It made me not miss him because I was really disappointed when he
dropped. Yeah, me too. I thought when I heard it was going to be Berg, I thought it would be like, eh. You know, my excitement for the movie kind of dipped, but he knocked it out of the park. He did a really good job.
He really did.
And I'm psyched that he's got Stronger coming out as well later this year, the Boston Marathon movie. Mm-hmm. Stronger, no, Patriots Day.
Patriot Day.
The third, I guess, is probably, I don't know if you've seen this one yet, A Monster Calls. Have you seen that?
I just saw that.
Sorry?
just about last night. The author was here to talk about
fantastic,
it.
Fantastic movie.
It's really good. It's really,
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing, you know, if you don't cry, you might, you know, and it was, and it
there
was.
Two,
it
there
was,
were two scenes that nearly brought me to tears. There are two scenes, and I don't cry at movies. I never do.
Yeah, well, neither do I, but I was emotional watching that. And it was Felicity Jones did it to me in that movie. I actually met her at the party. I went to the party for that movie afterwards, and I met her in Sigourney Weaver. And I told Jones, I was like, oh, my God, you almost made me cry. And she was laughing. I mean, she was funny. She was nice stuff. Yeah, I thought that was amazing. I thought Liam Neeson was so good as the tree demon. And that was,
yeah.
I mean, talk about
amazing. And that kid, Lewis McDougal. The kid, Lewis McDougal.
Oh, he was great.
And
fantastic.
And Sigourney Weaver, nearly made me, that really got me, was involving her after the destruction of something.
Oh,
out,
yeah.
Out
oh,
her
she
room.
Was really good.
Just her reaction. I was just like, oh, my God. I don't know what the situation. But
Bayona, that
really,
guy's
really
kind
good.
Of a magical... That guy's kind of a magical director, though. I mean, he does, you know, he really knows his stuff. And I don't think anybody could have made that movie work except him. But it was great.
I'm curious to see what he's doing in World 2 now. I mean,
yeah.
I imagine it'll probably be reined in to some degree, but
I think it'll be way better than the last one, though, if he's doing it.
It could be.
I think he's enough. He'll be good with directing kids, and I think he could do something interesting with that. My next one, I would say, is Moonlight. Have you heard of this one yet?
Oh, yeah, the Barry Jenkins film. In fact, I was supposed to go to a screening of that a few days ago. I went to the wrong theater.
Yeah. that picked up a lot of steam at Telluride. And it came to TIFF like kind of riding a wave, and it was so well received at TIFF that they kept adding press screenings. So at the festival, they added like four, which is pretty unheard of. And it was you can see why though. I mean, it's a very impressive film. I mean, I'm sure that's going to get nominated for some Oscars. The guy, what's his name? Trevante Williams, is it? Trevante Rhodes.
Yeah.
Trevante Rhodes, I think. He's really good as the guy. I mean, but it's more than just him though, because it's that character at three ages. He's this gay black guy growing up in Miami in the early 90s. His mom's addicted to crack and basically falls under the wing of this kind of drug dealer who ends up being this kind of really protective, nice guy character. And but then it goes different places, and it's really interesting. Andre Holland, who I really like from The Nick, has a great part in it too. It was a pretty impressive movie.
Mahershala Ali in that movie.
He might get nominated for an Oscar for that
big
one.
Big fan.
He's
of,
the drug dealer. He's
yeah,
really
he's
good.
He's really surging right now. It seems like everything he does, people are talking about, and he's been over the years. But like the last 2 years or so, it's like everything he does is like straight fire. So it's like, okay, this.
He could get nominated for an Oscar for that. I think he's really good.
Wow.
And then probably the last one. Trying to think now. What else I gave him 9 to? Oh, Arrival. Yeah.
Okay, I was about to ask Arrival. You about Arrival.
Amy Adams. Two. She was in two really good movies at TIFF. Arrival and Nocturnal Animals, the Tom Ford movie.
Yeah, that's another one I was going to ask you about. Was Nocturnal Animals?
Nocturnal Animals is a bit of more of an acquired taste. I think I liked it a lot, but it's not for everybody. But Arrival is fantastic. Kind of an alien first contact movie, but more like Carl Sagan than ID4. It's really smart, sophisticated. It's a much more upbeat movie than Denis Villeneuve is used to, you know, because he kind of, in the movie, kind of is more optimistic about people, I think, than any of the other films that he's done. Jeremy Renner has a really good role in it, too. Much different role for him. He's kind of laid back and nice in it. And Forrest Whitaker is like the military man. He kind of plays like an atypical military man, like this guy who's kind of, you know, he wants Amy Adams and Renner to be able to figure things out, you know, and to be able to communicate peacefully with the aliens. He's not a warmonger. You know, I thought it was a really interesting movie. The only thing that kind of disappointed me at first was that Roger Deakins didn't do the cinematography because he was doing something else. But he got Bradford Young, who's a really good shooter as well, like an indie kind of guy. And he did a really good job. So it was pretty impressive movie.
Did you have a chance to see Free Fire in Wheatley?
Yeah, I loved Free Fire. That was my favorite of the midnight movies, I think. Yeah, that was pretty great. It doesn't come out now, I don't think, until April. it's funny, I actually got to go to the party for that one, and all those tough guys were sitting around drinking. It was pretty funny. You know who's great? I mean, Brie Larson's fantastic. She's hot. Brie Larson's fantastic, and Cillian Murphy I always love. But Armie Hammer, man, he steals the movie. I'm not usually a fan of his. Steals the movie as kind of like this smooth guy, a hitman. He steals every scene he's in. That it's a really fun movie. That, and then there was another one that was good at midnight that comes out soon too, called Dog Eat Dog with Nicolas Cage and Willem Dafoe. It's Paul Schrader movie.
Yeah,
that movie is
that's good.
Mental.
Really,
that's Nicolas Cage going crazy, and it was really worth watching.
Did you have a chance to see Colossal with Anne Hathaway?
I did, and it's playing at Fantastic Fest this weekend, so I'm seeing a lot of people tweeting about it. Yeah, an interesting movie. Definitely a different style of giant monster attacks movie. I don't want to give too much away about it because it's very atypical and it's very strange, and it's more of a drama, a relationship drama with a bit of that mixed in. But it got bought by like this new Chinese distributor that's going to break into the American market, and it's apparently getting a wide release early next year, so... It'll hit theaters. People get a chance to see it. Hathaway is fantastic in it. And Jason Sudeikis, who I usually don't like at all, is actually pretty good in it, too.
The last movie I'm going to ask you about, and I don't know if you saw it or not, is Tramps. Did you have a chance to see
No,
that?
I didn't see Tramps. I heard it was good. I didn't get a chance to see it. No, I heard it was good, though.
Okay, yeah, I'm a big fan of Give Me the Loot, so I wanted to know how Adam Leon's follow-up to that was going to be, but hopefully I'll get a chance to see it. Hopefully I'll hit something nearby from Lucky, but yeah, okay. So you guys should see most of the big stuff.
Yep.
Awesome. Sounds like you had a great man. Next year I'm going to go. I keep saying I'm going to go. Next year I'm going.
You should, man. You'd have a great time. You'd love it.
Yeah, but before then, I will see you definitely at Sundance in a few months, and we'll talk about what's coming up at the festival. But I know you got to go, and I got to get ready to go as well. So I want to thank you for coming on again, my friend, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Anytime, man. Take care, Travis.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy. All right. That's my man, Chris Bonebury from JoeBlow.com, talking about the best movies he saw at TIFF. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to breeze through some DVDs and news, and I'm going to get out of here because I got things to do. So we'll be right back. D2's most recent album. And the reason I played it is because it was prominent in the most recent movie, and in the recent movie, Kicks, one of the best movies of the year. It's almost certainly going to end up on my top 10 list of the year, depending on how the rest of this year goes. But you can check out my review of that at com. Let's talk about what came out on DVD and Blu-ray this week. Got a few things that caught my eye. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows is the sequel to the I think it was 2014 live action movie. And this one was more of a traditional version of the Turtles, brought in Bebop and Rocksteady and the Krang, and yet it was somehow worse. I don't know how they made that up to make a movie that gave me everything that I was asking for and yet still didn't live up to expectations. Free State of Jones, this is that failed historical drama plays Newton Knight, the guy who tried to create his own Free State of Jones. out where he could basically do whatever he wanted, the races to intermingle, things like that. He was a rebel, basically. And the movie just it came out. I feel like it came out at the wrong time. It came out in the middle of summer. I was like, why are you trying to put this historical drama in the middle of the summer when people are thinking about comic book movies and shit like that? It just didn't make a lot of sense. They should have dropped it early in the year or right around now. Would have been a smart play. Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, with Zac Efron, Seth Rogen, Chloe Moretz, Rose Byrne, Kiersey Clemons. Yeah, I found it to be just as funny as the first one. If you like that one, you'll like this one. At least I think so. And Beauty and the Beast, Disney's animated movie, celebrating its 25th anniversary. A couple of news pieces that I want to go over real fast. You heard me and Chris talk about it briefly earlier, but Antoin Fuqua is going to direct Denzel Washington in The Equalizer 2. We kind of expected that, but it wasn't confirmed until now. So that's going to shoot next fall. So we got a long wait for that. We probably won't see it until 2018. This is, so far they've worked together on three movies, Training Day, Magnificent Seven, and what's something else? I can't think what it was. It doesn't matter. That's it. That's good to show how tired I am. I can't remember what the movies are. Equalizer, Training Day, and Magnificent Seven. Those are the three, and now this will be the fourth. Okay. Yeah. All right, whatever. Let's see. What else? Vin Diesel is trying to bring Paul Walker back for the Fast and Furious, movie. There was a report that he's looking to maybe bring back Paul Walker's brothers, who helped complete Fury 7 after Paul Walker passed away. He started looking to bring them back to help bring Paul Walker's character, Brian O'Connor, back into the franchise somehow. And this will probably be a minor role, maybe like a catching up with Brian sort of thing. Not a full-fledged sort of role, like he's going off on missions with them, so I hope not. But yes, it actually came from brothers, the Walker brothers, Cody and Caleb, who told this to Entertainment Tonight, saying they had a phone call with Vin Diesel, and he's looking to bring them back to play Brian O'Connor. So I hope that doesn't happen. I feel like Brian was, his character went off, rode off to the sunset, and he should be done. In fact, they should probably retire Jordana Brewster's character, too. I don't know why she's in this movie. Brian O'Connor. I don't know what they're doing, unless they got divorced or something, or she's already tired of him. She's gonna take an hiatus from being his wife or something. I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know what they're doing now. Monster Trucks. This is that really awful-looking movie starring Lucas Till from the X-Men movies. And Dan Levy, and this is obviously based on the Mattel cars, the Mattel toys, but it involves like an actual monster who gets into vehicles and like soups them up. So they're quote unquote monster trucks. But Paramount is already predicting that they're going to lose a ton of money on this movie. In their financial projections, their parent company Viacom noted that there's going to be a $115 million impairment charge, which basically means they expect to lose $115 million in an unspecified film due to them expecting it to gross lower than expected. That movie was revealed to be Monster Trucks. So they are already looking at this as a failure. And months from coming out, I mean, it doesn't come out until next year, I believe. So it's like, wow. That just goes to show, man. These movies, you know, they start off as one thing to end up as another. Like, they intended for this to be an all-ages movie, but if anyone who saw that trailer immediately knew it was going to be a kid's movie. It looked like the kind of kid's movie that any kid would be rushing to go see. So Paramount has obviously realized this after the fact, And now they're like, yeah, we're gonna take an L on this one. Taking an L on this one. This is gonna be a total loss. So yeah, there's probably a good chance it'll do well overseas, but here at home, Monster Trucks is gonna be a disaster. That's pretty much it. I mean, there are a few other items. Some comments made by DC Warner Brothers execs about the DCU having room for improvement. I think, come on, your franchise has room for improvement, so I don't really think that is a big deal. Disney and Lucasfilm are expecting lower box office for Star Wars story. I mean, it's a spinoff, so obviously that's not a big deal either. And The Dark Tower, which is coming out in a few months, starting Idris Elba and Matt McConaughey. It looks like they're going to move forward with the companion TV series, which was always in the plans, but it always seemed sort of ambitious. But it looks like they are going to move forward with that, and Idris Elba will be part of it. Probably a huge part of it, but he will be involved. So you can read up on more of that stuff over on punchdrunkcritics.com. All right? And there it is. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Cinema Royale. It's been a fun, if abbreviated, show. I want to thank Chris Bumbray of Chillable.com for joining me, and the Toronto International Film Festival. I'll be going to check out all those movies he's talking about. Those are the big ones. Those are going to be huge. Some of the awesome movies. Next week's show will be a movie that that Chris and I already sort of talked about, which is Deepwater Horizon, starring Mark Wahlberg. I'm Travis Hobson, and this has been Cinema Royale. You can find me every single day at punchdrunkcritics.com. You can find me on the radio if you're in the D.C. area, WPAO Morning News on Thursday mornings, and also on WETA Channel 26 on the long-running series WETA Around Town, giving my reviews on all of them. That's it. I'll see you next week. It's been fun. Everybody have a good weekend. Goodbye.